Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you're here. Well, today we're continuing our Easter celebration because we're still talking about it, aren't we? We're talking about on Good Friday. Something happened to Jesus. Wasn't good for him, but it was good for us. What happened to Jesus on Good Friday? Yeah, he was crucified. Can you imagine somebody willing to put their life on the line and give up their life for you? And that's what Jesus did for you and me and all people, to save us from our sins. But when Jesus died, that wasn't the end. 3 days later, something amazing happened. What happened to Jesus on Easter? What happened? He rose. Is it really true? Yeah, absolutely. I believe that too, and I'm glad you know the truth. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. And it still makes all, it changes everything, doesn't it? Well, in my sermon today, we're going to talk about how Easter changes everything, and Easter makes us totally different. But to help you understand what that means, I want to show a snapshot, and you might have seen this before. Can you see what the kids are doing in their house? What are the kids doing? They're yelling, right? And does that ever happen in your house? No. Oh, it does. Okay. I thought my house was the only one that happened to, right? Sometimes, you know, the kids are yelling and mom's not quite sure what to do. And sometimes when we hear like people yelling or complaining, it's easy to go along with that, isn't it? It's easy to say, well, they're doing it. I might as well do that too. But does God want us to yell and complain and do those things? No. Jesus has made us different. And now, because of Easter, we don't just have to go along with everybody else when they do something wrong. We can go, hey, I don't need to do that. We can be calm and speak words of kindness and words of love. And we can keep our heads even if everybody else is losing theirs, right, around us. You might want to remember that later this week. But okay, so that's what people do when they can go along with the crowd and do something wrong. We see these kids all doing something. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're praying. Like when you see somebody praying, what do you do? You do that too. Did you see how quick you did that? In other words, God's word changes us so that we go along and we don't conform or go along with the world's doing when it's wrong. Instead, God wants us to do what's right. And that's why it's so important for you and me to come to church today so that we can pray for each other and with each other. And Jesus answers all of those prayers. Easter makes us different and helps us follow what God says in his word. Let's pray right now to ask God to help us. Dear Jesus, thank you for rising from the dead, and thank you for making us different. Not better, but forgiven by your blood. Help us always remember that we're forgiven, and Lord, help us be kind and loving and come and do what you want in your word. Help us do that here in New Ulm this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be yours. Because Jesus lives, he lives indeed. Amen. God's word for our sermon for this third Sunday of Easter, appointed for us in the first letter of the Apostle Peter, reading from chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. We're going to hear how Christians dare to be different. The Bible says this: therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. This is God's word. You may be seated. Dear fellow believers in Jesus, still basking in the glow of Easter, how would you classify today's fashions and hairstyles? I mean, if you'd walk downtown here in New Ulm, maybe walk into the shop called The Boutique, or walk into the CAF on Martin Luther's campus, could you really define what fashions make this generation? If I do that, I'd have a hard time. When I look at what everyone is wearing, it seems like anything and everything goes. People are daring to be different. They're not all looking the same. Oh, sure, once in a while, maybe Mr. Crescent or Pastor Scharf and I might wear the same polo. Here's hoping this week for warm weather. But you know, a lot of people just dress just to be different. I mean, and some people dress in ways from, in styles and fashions from previous generations. It's not uncommon to see some people wear Brady Bunch bell bottoms or tie-dyed t-shirts, styles from a previous generation. Guys may not sport hair gel from the 1950s and grease their hair, but they still wear some kind of sporting gel. People don't want to all dress the same. They want to be different. And styles from previous generations pop up, and actually that's good news. Because if you think your closet is hopelessly out of style with your repertoire of shirts and shoes, just wait a few years. It'll be back in style. Then you too can dare to be different. So is there anything wrong with wanting to dress to be different? Of course not. The Bible says this to guide us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That passage gives Christian believers like you and me a tremendous amount of Christian freedom. We don't need to get stressed in how we look. Instead, we want to give our best to God, obviously, every day. And when we remember we're serving God and our fellow man, you and I can dress any way we'd like. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about intentionally wearing clothes that are suggestive or wearing slogans that undermine God-given authority. But God is talking about being different. And obviously, being different is what the Christian is all about. I said in our children's message today, God hasn't called us to conform to the ways of this world. We're not slaves to fashion. We don't have to go along with the selfish, me-first mentalities of the people around us. Christ has set us free. And so now, with his freedom, we can dare to be different how we live our lives. And in that way, Christians really are different. In our sermon reading for today, the Apostle Peter is not setting forth the latest fashion styles. Instead, he's reminding us the timeless truth that as Christian people, the way you and I live every day, what we say and what we do, it really is important to stand out. It's important that we remember that we are different from everyone else. So today, on this third Sunday of Easter, as we take a closer look at the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, Christians now dare to be different. We're made different by the blood of Jesus. And secondly, we're called to live different lives in reverent fear for Christ. Remember the people who Peter was talking to? He wasn't just talking to people who were only worried, is it going to snow this week or is it not? Well, that's what we're concerned here in New Ulm. No, he was talking to real people with real problems. They were going through a persecution that you and I have never known. They were in danger of losing their lives simply for believing the Easter truth that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. They needed encouragement not to abandon the faith. You and I need that encouragement today. But this is the way the Apostle Peter starts by talking about how Christians dare to be different. He says in verse 18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." Yes, Christians dare to be different. We're made different by the blood of Jesus. Peter says that you and I have been redeemed. We learn about being redeemed back in catechism class, don't we? You know what that word means. It means that we're bought back from sin, death, and hell. But the Greek word that Peter uses here that says we've been redeemed from the empty way of life, literally that Greek word means void of any purpose, truth, or value. What he's telling us is, you know, on television and on commercials, don't you get the impression if you just bought those set of clothes or wore them, you'd be accepted by society and your life would be great? Well, just because you get a compliment on your wardrobe doesn't mean that you have it all together. In fact, the Bible calls that void, empty, really a waste of time. Instead of us being so worried about being accepted by the world around us, God says be more concerned about what He has done for us. And yes, God says that the empty way of life, in other words, that refers to that sin that's been passed down from Adam and Eve to everyone in the family tree of history. It's also talking about the empty way of life. People thinking that you get ahead by crushing others, that's the way of the world. That's not the way that the Christian like you and I live. God tells us, avoid sin. So sin isn't just that fashion faux pas. My wife has to remind me, don't wear stripes with plaid. Don't wear fuchsia with pink. Well, God's word is referring to sin, not a fashion sin, but that sin you and I do every day, almost without thinking and thought, word, and deed. By nature, all of us are in the same boat as sinners, and we're separated from God, expecting punishment in hell. But don't forget what God has done for us that it's made us all different. Don't miss this point. Peter says, Jesus redeemed us with His precious blood. That's good news on an April Sunday morning that you and I need to hear. Jesus has saved us by coming on a rescue mission to redeem us by dying on the cross in our place and rising again from the grave. You and I have been saved eternally. Have you thought about what that means lately? Well, look at it this way. I'm sure you've all seen a movie or a TV show where someone has been kidnapped and held for ransom. Imagine for a few moments that you were kidnapped. How much would your family pay for you? $20? $2,000? $2 million? You know, whenever I think about my worth to my family, I always come up with about $20. I'm not worth that much. I suppose that's good news. That means I'm not a big target for kidnappers. It's hard for me to imagine someone paying millions of dollars or more for my release. Well, so when it comes to verse 18, Peter agrees with me. He says, you know that it wasn't with perishable things, such as gold or silver, that you were redeemed. No one would pay that much in ransom for us, right? Wrong, Peter says. Someone has paid more for my release than yours, much more. And what was the ransom price? Peter tells us in verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus didn't just give us a blood donation. He gave all His blood, and only His blood saves. Blood donation is important here in our world. People have different blood types. Do you know your blood type? I'd like you to raise your hand if you know if you're AB negative. Are you AB negative? Can you raise your hand? A little higher, please. Thank you. Not many. You know, people with AB negative are rare. They're important because your blood can make a difference to the people around you. But as precious and valuable and rare as AB blood type is, Jesus' blood is even more valuable and more rare. Because Jesus was willing to live perfectly for every time I messed up and you messed up, and because Jesus willingly gave his innocent, holy blood as a sacrifice, like a lamb that was sacrificed on Old Testament altars, only Jesus has made us right with God by dying on that cross. But Easter changes everything. And Peter reminds us of that fact. He says that the Bible says God raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Remember, Peter was the eyewitness. He saw the risen Christ, and he wanted to make sure that you and I know that Jesus isn't dead, but he's alive. Easter means that Jesus was telling the truth. He is the Son of God. In the future, eternal life is ours, guaranteed. And right now, we're forgiven. What a relief. We don't have to walk around as guilted sinners, but forgiven only by Jesus' blood. And now we're free. We're free from Satan's power and free for a life of service, of thanks and praise. Yes, Christians can dare to be different. We're made different by the blood of Jesus, and that matters. But now we have an important role in our lives. Until we get to heaven and see that risen Christ face to face, God now has called you and me to live different lives, different than the world around us. Peter tells us, live different in reverent fear. He puts it this way in our reading: since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. You know, sometimes doesn't it ever seem like God is blessing someone more than you, as if God loves that person more than he loves you? Oh, resist that urge to think like that. God loves all of us the same. God's impartial. He doesn't love people more or less. He just knows what we can handle. But now he also tells us, live in reverent fear of him. What we say and what we do every day, it matters. Now, as we live in reverent fear, that doesn't just mean be afraid. That's what Satan wants you to live. Be afraid of God. Run away from his word. Run away from his house. No, God wants us to run to him. See, reverent fear also means respect. Of all the things we respect in the world, when our role models say something to us, it matters. But when God's word says something to us, that matters the most. We live in reverent fear of respect what God says. That's why we can dare to be different. When pressured to go along with the crowd, even if everyone else is doing it and doing what's wrong, you and I don't have to go along with it. We can actually do what's right, even if we're the only one. My mom always used to say, if everyone jumped off the Empire State Building, would you too? Obviously not. But yet, we live different lives. Christians have problems and troubles here in this world. You do. You've come to this building with troubles and problems. In that way, I guess we're not different than the world around us. But we're different in that we now call on a Heavenly Father. And we can absolutely trust he's going to answer in his perfect time and in his perfect way. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Yes, Christians hurt when we lose those closest to us. When you lose a dad, a mom, a son or daughter, it hurts. But as Christians, the Bible says, we don't grieve like the rest who have no hope. Instead, only when we hear God's word, God gives us hope that we'll find nowhere else. And he reminds us he'll be with us, bringing people into our lives and giving us the hope of a reunion in heaven with that Christian loved one, guaranteed. Finally, how do we live our lives? Every day, as his witnesses. We simply tell others what Jesus has done. I read a poster once that said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you and I were taken to prison right now and they were looking for evidence, were we Christians? What would other people find? Would they find us worshiping regularly? Or, well, I guess they might have shown up in church once in a while. Would they find us giving to God generously in our checkbooks, or would they see just giving to God what's left over? My friends, Easter has changed us. It's changed us because we now know the truth. Jesus didn't just die and rise for us. He died and rose for others. And right now, other people are in darkness. God blesses every invitation that you and I give. Whether coming to Bible information class that starts tomorrow night, we have met people that we know right here in New Ulm that we can simply invite. And invitations, personal invitations, they're so powerful and they make a difference. And even if the person says no, you and I can move on to someone else who will say yes. God wants to call you and me to live differently, not going along with the rest of the world, but live differently for Him. If you ever feel like you just don't belong in this world, you're absolutely right, you don't. You and I, the Bible says, are foreigners, strangers here in this world. Heaven is our home. But until we get there, I pray that you will seek to be different than the world around you and more like Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you. Amen. For our stewardship thought, we'll now watch a video produced by our assimilation team, or A-team, as you hear what fellowship means.
Hi, I'm Ed. In our church life, we talk about fellowship. Fellowship is a concept that is more than just friendship. It's more than just getting together for coffee after worship. Although that can be a part of it and brings blessings to us and others. Fellowship is the partnership we enjoy with Jesus and one another through our common faith in Jesus and His Word, our joint worship of God, our commitment to live for and serve God, and our love for one another. Jesus is the classic example of fellowship. He didn't need disciples, but chose the 12 with whom He spent a lot of time in daily loving, worshiping, and serving. He also enjoyed fellowship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. When He went to synagogues, we often think of Him encountering His enemies, but they were probably believers with whom He would fellowship. In this episode of our St. Paul's video series, You Are the Face of Jesus, we want to emphasize that as we fellowship with members of our church family, we are thanking God for the fellowship we enjoy with Him. It is also a way to show love for one another. Through our common faith, as we worship together, serve together, spiritually grow together, and even just be together with our sisters and brothers in Christ, we reflect the love and face of Jesus. So be faithful in fellowship.